So today we're carrying on, last part, chapter 5, and it's prayer full of faith and restoring others. And I'm going to say something, and then you're probably going to feel guilty, but don't worry, we'll get rid of that, okay? So if you've got faith, prove it in your prayer life. Is that how you feel when we talk about prayer? Oh, I should pray more. I should believe more. I should get more involved in prayer. It's hard. And then down come the shutters, and it's like, I'm not going to listen because I'm only going to get even more guilty. That's not what it's about today, all right? There's not going to be anything about, come on, you need to pray more. Okay? Let's just encourage each other about prayer. Okay, so let's read the text. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. There we are. That's all clear, isn't it? So we're going to get a lot of Bible today. We're going to be stuffed. Okay, I was going to say, turn to the person next to you and say, get stuffed, but that probably wouldn't be the right thing to say. But anyway, so we've got a lot of stuff we're going to look at today. The first one is the tricky stuff. I want to get this out of the way. Verse 14, it talks about, is anyone sick? That word sick can actually also mean weak. And so there is debate about, are we talking about someone who's physically sick or someone who's spiritually weak? And there are good arguments on both sides. I would have them both in mind as we go through this. It could be a physical sickness, but it could also be someone who's just weak in the faith at the moment. Verse 15 might suggest that if you're sick, it's because you've sinned. Please don't fall into that one. There are sins that can lead to sickness, but for the most part, sickness is just sickness, okay? If you're sick and you can think and say, I know that what I did has caused this, okay, that's fine. But if you're just sick, then you're just sick, okay? Not sin. And then verse 16 sounds a little bit Catholic-y, about confession, okay? But we're going to come back to that, all right? We'll come back to the confession bit because there is some stuff to unpack there. So that's the tricky stuff. Let's move on to the obvious stuff. This is very obvious. Don't even need to say anything, really. If you're in trouble, yep. If you're happy, if you're sick, that's it. Done. It's good, isn't it? I wish every point was that easy. Verse 10. That's not true. Robin and Margie aren't here. We're doomed. The superhero stuff. So I'm just going to read verses 14 and 15 again. Let the sick or the weak call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. So does that mean that only the leaders can pray for the sick or the weak or whatever? Does it mean that their prayers are more powerful than everyone else's? Do we have holy superheroes in the church? No. Not in my experience, anyway. No, the Bible makes it very clear, actually, that everyone can pray for everything, and everyone can pray for everyone else. That's obvious, really, isn't it? But we need to get that in there, because it does seem to suggest that, well, if you're sick, go to the leaders, let them pray for you. I'll pray for you. No, I want one of the leaders. No. But what it's saying actually is the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. How many people here are righteous? Well, there we are. 10 points to John Dewberry. We're all righteous because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So our prayers are powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being. I mean, he's one of the big, you know, heroes of the Old Testament. But what it's saying here is actually he was no different to us. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. What a gift to have. What a gift. We're having a barbecue over the weekend. Better invite Elijah. You know, we don't want it to be rained off. It's all right. Elijah's coming. Lord, no rain. Good. That would be a good gift. I don't think it's likely to happen, though. It was a specific gift for a specific time, and that was it. That was what Elijah did. But, you know, when you read the story of Elijah, he had his weaknesses, he had his battles, his struggles, but God used him. And the message here is, yeah, Elijah wasn't a superhero in that sense. He was the same as all of us. You could flip it and say, actually, we're all superheroes in prayer. Do you feel like a superhero in prayer? No. But you are, because we just read that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and we're all righteous people. Have I convinced you? Doesn't look like it. Never mind. You sure? Thank you. You have powerful prayers. And where are our prayers stored? Come on, let's get to Revelation. Where does God keep our prayers? Oh, hang on a minute. Jenny, this is Jenny. She came out to Brazil, I don't know how many times, but 4 times. And she's fantastic. Where are our prayers kept, Jenny?
In the bowls.
They are bowls. What's special about the bowls?
Oh, golden.
Yes. They're in a place of honor before the throne of God. All our prayers are in these golden bowls before the throne of God. They're not in Tupperware boxes. You know, it's a place of honor before the throne of God, and that's where our prayers go. You're a superhero. Oh, you can say that to the person next to you. That's not offensive. Go on, say, you're a superhero. I've got no idea where I am now in all of this. Let's have a look at that one. Oh, yeah, there we are. Elijah wasn't a superhero. But, yeah, the big picture here is that we should have this culture of praying for each other, knowing that my prayers can have an impact in your life and your prayers can have an impact in mine. Should we go back to the worship team? Okay, let's move on then. We can pray for each other physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever we need healing in, we can pray for each other, and we should be. We should be. Let's go to the Catholic-y stuff. I don't know if that's spelt right, but it's not in the dictionary. Verses 15 and 16, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Is that right? Confession? Do we need to set up a screen here and Phil sits behind it to receive your confession? Doesn't say that, does it, John? No. We confess our sins to God. And there are some amazing psalms like 32 and 51 where David is just confessing his sin directly to God. And it says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 to confess our sins so that we can be purified. We confess to God and it maintains that good relationship with God. It does us good. It really does do us good. there is another type of confession which we need to look at, which is confessing to each other when we've done something wrong. Jesus said, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." And then Paul said in Colossians 3, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave." There is a principle here of, I need to put things right with you. If I've offended you, or if you've offended me, or whatever, there is a responsibility. I need to put it right. The same way that we confess to God to maintain that good relationship between us and God, it goes sideways as well. And it's confessing to each other and saying, "I am sorry. Let's put this right." I said earlier, there are sins that lead to sickness. If you read 1 Corinthians, one of the big messages there is about division in the church. And it talks about the communion service, which in those days, in that culture, it was a meal together, eating together. And the Apostle Paul has a moan at them about this, because some of them were getting there early, they were eating all the food, drinking all the wine, and then when the other ones got there, there was nothing left for them. And Paul was saying, that's not how it should be. And then we get that bit that we often read when we do communion about, you know, if anyone eats and drinks without discerning the body, they're bringing judgment on themselves, and that's why some of you are sick. Oh, this is horrible, isn't it? But what happened to the nice, loving God? But they weren't discerning the body of Christ, which is the church. They weren't discerning that you are my brother, you are my sister, we're all part of one body. And if I am doing something against you, if I'm not showing that love and that care, I am sinning. So we need to be zealous for unity in the body. Putting things right, being united. Can I get an amen for that one? Thank you. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head. Isn't that right? Isn't it good when we're together? Isn't it good when we put things right? If you're married, when you've had a bit of a bust up, but then you come back together and you say sorry and you put things right, doesn't it feel good? I think it does. Maybe you've never had a bust up before, or maybe you have and you haven't put it right yet. But there we go. Laurie has. You awake, Laurie? Okay. Have you ever annoyed your wife? Yeah. Have you put it right yet? Good. So let's get into that culture of, I want to put this right. I want to keep the unity. I want to keep that oil of God's anointing flowing in my life and in our church. There's also more about confessing, which I don't want to dwell on, but maybe you're struggling with stuff. There are times when we do need to confess. When we're struggling, we've said sorry to God, I don't know how many times, thousands of times, and yet we still feel guilty. And that's not what God wants for us. And that's when we need to seek people that we trust, people who are mature, that we can say, can I just offload this onto you? It's not that the other people can forgive you, but just by offloading it onto somebody else, you can get that support, you can get that prayer to actually feel free again. Go on with God. The faith stuff. Where is our faith? Who do we have faith in? What is our image of God? You're far too quiet, so it's time for some audience participation. Okay? Where's my water? So I'm not going to spray you with holy water. Right. So I'm going to tell a story that Jesus told, okay? And it's about a widow and a judge. Now, the widow's nice, but in a bit of a tricky situation, and the judge is horrible. So, when I mention the widow, you have to go, can we try that? The widow. And when you say the judge, you have to go, boo. So, let's just practice. The widow and the judge. Fantastic. Here we go. Pay attention. Oh, no, he isn't. Then Jesus told a parable to his disciples to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who... It's good. This might take a while. Who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. But the judge, he was horrible, and he didn't want to have anything to do with the widow. But the widow kept going back to the judge, asking for help. But every time, the judge would say, no, go away. And so the widow would walk back home. And then the next day, the widow would go back to the judge, and the judge would say no to the widow. And this carried on for quite a long time. The widow would go to the judge, and then the judge would say, no, clear off, you horrible widow. We bored of this yet. Finally, the judge said, I'm fed up with this widow. She keeps coming here annoying me. And so I am going to give the widow what she wants just so I can get some peace. And Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice? I know. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? So Jesus makes a big contrast here. It's hyperbole. It's posh, isn't it? Hyperbole, where you take something which is utterly absurd on one extreme to make a point on the other side. So he's just using this absolute ridiculous story, saying, you know, you're not like the widow, and God's not like the judge. That's a bit confusing now, isn't it? We're not, you know, like a widow who's got... we're not like a poor lady who has whose husband has died, who has no rights, who has no support, has nothing. And God isn't like the official responsible for public affairs and judging cases and things like that. That's ridiculous. Thinking that God could be like that, thinking that we could be like that, is absolutely ridiculous. It's different. We are God's chosen ones. He listens to us and he gives us what we ask. That's worth a hooray. And Jesus carried on with this. He said, yes, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. And then he goes back to hyperbole again. He goes, you know, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a snake? Even though you're evil, you didn't know you were evil, did you? Well, there we are. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Who's our faith in? Our faith is in God. And who is this God that we have faith in? He's the God who is our Father. He's not like that horrible official whose name we shall not mention. He's not like that. He's a good, good Father who wants to give us good things because we're his kids. And that's amazing. That's why prayer is so amazing, because God listens and God acts on our behalf. Thank you. But going back to the story of the persistent widow, at the end of that, Jesus tags on something else. He says, I tell you, God will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, how does that fit in? We've just had a parable about two specific people teaching us about prayer. What's all this about when the Son of Man comes? Will he find faith on the earth? Well, I think what he's saying is, well, if you've got faith, prove it. Pray. That's the proof. Keep praying. Keep going back, like that lady did. Keep going back, knocking on the door, seeking, asking until you get the answer. That's where your faith is. That's where you show your faith. And we're back. Oh, I've gone on a bit too quick there. Off that again. We come back to that question of faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he, who knows the rest of the verse? Rewards those. Yeah. In faith, we come to God knowing that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God's got rewards for us when we pray. I think that's worth a hooray as well. Yeah. God wants to reward us. He wants to give us good things. He wants us to come to him and say, please help me. And he'll say yes. So moving on. So the whole context of James 5 is actually about family and praying for each other. It's not about prayers for me. When you read it, it's all about pray for each other. If you need prayer, ask for prayer. If somebody asks for prayer, pray for them. It's not a personal thing. It's a family thing. And we go to the other text about ask, seek, and knock. But Jesus said, you know, your heavenly Father gives good gifts. And at the end of it, he says, but in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. For this sums up the laws and the prophets. So Jesus is saying, your heavenly Father is like this. You come to him and he'll give you good things. But that's also how you should treat your brothers and sisters. That's how you want them to treat you. So you treat them the same. That's easy. Let's create a culture of praying for each other. A family where we know we are loved and supported, carrying each other's burdens, praying for each other, and seeking to restore the weak. Can we do that? Is that something we can do? It's worth a go, isn't it? Wouldn't that be a wonderful family when we've all got that attitude? So, I now have a treat for anyone who was a Christian in the 90s or early 2000s, or if you had kids back in those days, I'll ask a question and see if anyone who wasn't here earlier when we were testing this, what have we learned? What could that be? Well, hopefully this is going to work.
It's time to talk about what we learned today.
And so would we, and learn little lies to our lives today. And our hands will love to say in this book.
Bamboo, bamboo, bamboo.
You see, we know that God's word is for everyone. And now that our song is done, we'll take a look.
I love Veggie Tales. I get so much of my theology from Veggie Tales. What have we learnt? We've learnt that there are no superheroes in prayer on one side, or you could say we're all superheroes in prayer. No one's got a closer connection to God than anyone else. We've all got that. Secondly, we have a God who longs to hear our prayers and act on our behalf. Thirdly, we can and should pray for each other. This is a culture that we should be developing more and more. And it's not shameful or a sign of weakness to admit we need help and ask for prayer. It's actually glorious. When we go to our brothers and sisters and say, please pray for me, I'm not doing so well. What's wrong with that? The fact is, we all go through times when we're not doing so well and we need some help.